Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hobbyhead Productions. I'm your host, Sean. Danny, how are you, man?
Dude, I am way better than I thought I was going to be, man. I was kind of drunk yesterday, and tired, and I thought I would just be miserable today.
Like, maybe you're just miserable every day, so it doesn't feel that bad.
Right. Well, I mean, it is like in the you know, I joke with people that it's like that scene in the Avengers where, you know, the Hulk's like, that's my secret, Captain, I'm always angry. Except mine is, I'm always tired.
Right. Dude, I'm like coming down off the vacation blues, you know, like had a week off, you know, did nothing for the most part. And it's just like, man, I want another week off of doing this.
Right. I know. I got one more week of work and then I get 2 weeks off.
You're a monster.
I know. I mean, yes, you're not wrong. Except the first week, I'm not alone. My wife's going to be with me. And so,
your wife.
My wife. So basically, I'm trying to, like, I have to, like, I've made it so that myself, I have to clean as well because she keeps saying that she needs to clean out her closet. Mm. And I'm like, let's clean out our closets that first week of vacation, which means I also have to clean.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So basically, you're just going to take everything out and put it back in and go, all done.
Well, maybe I'll use it as an excuse because I have, like, shelves and stuff now that I could put, like, some of my anime figures on.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Man, dude.
So, I was going to say, I ordered a pop figure. Mm-hmm. Not a pop figure, one of the Neandroids.
Yeah.
From a show that I don't watch, even though I found it on VRV and it actually sounds kind of interesting. But I mostly ordered it because of the accessory that comes with it for other Neandroid figures. Mm-hmm. It's a scooter, like a little Vespa scooter.
Gotcha. So you could pose your favorite waifus on the scooter.
Yes, I could put Mako Mankovic on a scooter or something.
Scooter things.
Yes, and then, so I was like, saw the show and I was like, because it had, of course, you know, for some reason. VRV is like, there's three seasons, and then I look and it's like, oh, there's only like two seasons, but only one of the seasons, like the first season is like only like five episodes.
Gotcha.
And I guess it started off as like a live act. This girl was going to make like this documentary of her going camping,
mm-hmm.
like by herself, and she was going to go to like from one point to another, and she wanted to like finish at the top of this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess she started too late in the season, and by the time she got to a certain point, like the weather got bad, and so she couldn't finish it. And then she was worried that she couldn't get home or whatever, and then she ended up running into this other girl that was camping by themselves, and they ended up having some adventures, and that's where the anime kicks in, as their adventures together.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I just stumbled across a meme on Good Anime Memes, and I ended up watching, and so I didn't realize that there's this giant, like, 11-part series that you could watch, and they're all related to each other, and I didn't realize that by, you know, looking, just browsing around, because it all has, like, different names. It's not like, you know, it's not like Goblin Slayer this or Goblin Slayer that or something easy, but I ended up watching the first season, like, a long time ago of the Becca Montgomery, and I just, so, like, basically, like, it just, like, it gives me, like, a view of what order to watch. So it's like, watch this season, then watch these three movies, this season of 11 episodes, this season of 4 episodes, this season of 23 episodes. I'm like, do I want to go down this path? Or do I just want to watch, like, Fairy Tale all the way through? Because at least it's easier.
Right.
Oh, man. Dude, I had a huge PlayStation scare this week. I ejected the disc to pull out Ghost so I could get some Destiny on. Dude, and my PlayStation would not take the disc in. After I took it out, I was like trying to put Destiny in. It was like, nope, ain't doing it.
Did you try telling it that you loved it? Did you have to end up having to spit on Destiny?
No, I did not spit. After I turned it off and I turned it on, I tried it again. It wasn't working. I ended up having to, I don't know if PlayStation has like a cold boot system, but after I turned it off, I unplugged it for like 10, 20 seconds, and then I plugged it in, and then it was like everything's back to normal.
Good. Good.
I was super worried because I was like, dude, I don't have really any of my games digitally. They're all disc. So, and usually, for those that don't know, you have to download like the game onto the PlayStation anyways, but to play it, you have to put the disc in just because it says like you own it versus like a digital copy that kind of has that in there. So that would have been like Ghost and Destiny, I would have been like majorly fucked on.
Right. I was listening to a podcast and I can't remember what game it was, but there was a game recently where it was like, if you when you bought the disc, it only had like a couple things on it, like but it didn't actually have the game, like the game was like an update that you had to download, but it wasn't on the disc.
Why is that?
I guess they had to like press the disc before the game was ready. Which it's like it's bull which is a fucking bullshit move if like, you know, you live somewhere that has either shitty internet or no internet, because there are places like that in this country that exist.
You would know.
Yes. Like my mother-in-law, she has no internet because if she wants to get internet, she has to pay a ton of money for them to like run the wire cables and shit to her house, and then she has to pay for the internet on top of that.
What is life without internet?
Dude, it's weird. She doesn't have a smartphone either. So like if Jody wants to send her a picture, she has to send it to her mom's boyfriend, and then he shows her whenever they see each other again.
You got mail. Get over here.
It's like that old that's that commercial with the old ladies, and they're like, she has pictures, and it's like, look, it's my Facebook wall, and then like, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
I just imagine just like a wall, just photos, just constantly over. Be like, oh man, I want to look. I can't find that photo from like 3 years ago. It's buried underneath all these posts. And like, no, that's not how this works. Like, why don't you just put it in a notebook or something?
Right.
So, Danny, what are you drinking to cure your hangover or sadness?
So, you know, I went to go do a family get together, even though I kind of like really didn't want to necessarily, but I haven't seen my family for a while, and Jody was especially sad because she hasn't seen our nieces and nephews. And so I ended up stopping at La Bodega on the way there. Because my brother is gluten intolerant. And there's a, I can't remember the brewery, but it's like the national brewery. And they make a gluten-free beer called Gluteny.
Gotcha.
It's like gluttony, but with like the umlaut, so it's gluteny.
Yeah.
But they didn't have that there. So I was looking to see if they had something else. And I just ended up coming across, looking around, and I came across a beer that had an interesting label. It's like a picture on the can is a chicken with like the fruit hat. Like that old like Spanish singer dancer Carmen Miranda.
Yeah.
So it's and the brewery is from Santa Rosa. It's called Hen House Brewing, and it's called Juiced with an exclamation point. And it's a dosa with pineapple. It says that each batch is made with a new blend of one or two fruits, allowing us to experiment with new ingredients and processes. Each batch has the same refreshing tartness and a dash of sea salt, letting the differences between fruits shine through. It's a reminder that making beer is fun, and if we're not juiced, we're doing it wrong. It's super important to us that every in-house beer you drink is in perfect brewery fresh condition. We leave beer taste fresh, its best within its first 90 days, and insist on constant cold storage from our brewery to your hands. It says if you come across one of our beers past its expiration date or stored on the outside of a cooler, please let us know. And they have an email address. And then they even say check the date, and they have on the, it's not hard, you don't have to look on the bottom. It says this one was canned on 8/3. So it's right in the, I guess, the middle of its life expectancy of the 90 days.
It's middle-aged.
It's middle aged. Well, it's like yeah, it's about almost 2 months old. But yeah, I've never seen a pineapple gosa. Really, I've
I
seen
have
pineapple
not either.
like other sours, but not gosas, I don't think, or alone.
I'd be okay with that. I think I think Urban has either a tart or a gose with pineapple as well. But I think it's not just straight pineapple. I think it's got other stuff with it.
Right, because I think I've seen pineapple like sours or pineapple like wheat beers, but not necessarily gosas, like the like more like wheat beers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 4% alcohol too. It's got a nice like pineapple-y color to it. Oh man, it's so good. It's like, because it's weird. Like, I don't know about you, but Jody thinks I'm a monster because I'll put fruit on like, I mean, salt on some fruits like apples or watermelon.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. What, just to get that nice saltiness with your juice?
And like it adds like it kind of brings them a little more juicy. But this is really good. It's like the pineapple is like super refreshing. Dude, this is really good. It's like not overly tart. It's just a little salty and fruity. Oh man, that's really good. I'm gonna have to go back and get some more and drink it quickly because I only have so much time left.
Dude, that's like the biggest problem about this part of the show, Danny. It's going to the fridge and trying to decide what to drink. Because you have the stuff that you need to drink, and then you have the stuff that you want to drink, and you're like, is there something that you could pull maybe in the middle, or is it like, do you commit like one way or the other, man? It's like every Sunday, it's the same damn challenge.
Right. Have you seen the meme? I'm sure you have, but there's the meme where it's like the mom with the kid in the pool, like holding it up, and then the other kid's like drowning. And then they've added the second step to that meme where it's the skeleton like sitting in a lounge, like a chair at the bottom of the ocean.
No, I didn't see that.
So there's like that. Yeah. So I saw one where it was like the mom's holding the kid, and it's like beers you just bought, and it's like the one drowning, and it's like beers you bought last week, and then it's like the skeleton at the bottom of the ocean. It's like beers you bought last month. You've been in my fridge too long. You're not worth the drink. I got new exciting stuff.
Man, it's like, man, I really got to get to some of those stouts. I did drink one though on Friday night, so I made progress. I did make
Nice.
progress. It was like my I'm kind of too awake right now at 11 p.m. I need to drink something a little hard to start coming down so I could go to bed.
I mean, we are getting into stout weather. Quicker for some places than others, but yes.
Yeah, because I want to do a Mexican chocolate stout. Mexican hot chocolate stout. There you go.
Make one?
I want to make one, brew one.
Sweet.
I'm thinking about making some Mexican hot chocolate, because that way I could get kind of the flavors a little closer to what I want per glass, and then multiply that for the actual brew, so I don't have to experiment so much during the brewing.
Okay. Get some of the Abuelita hot chocolate.
Yeah, I get some milk, some chocolate, some cinnamon, a little dash of cayenne pepper.
If you want to get wacky, throw some nutmeg in there.
That is true. Forgot about the nutmeg. Gotta have the nutmeg. Yeah, this is my like winter goal is to get that done. So I should probably get started on that. It's
You
still
should.
September.
Yes.
I could get it all brewed and bottled before Christmas still.
And like every day you say that, it's like one less chance, one less day that you
It's
have to
only
do
the
it.
middle of October. It's only the beginning of November.
Right. I only have a week to, go get all the ingredients, brew it, ferment it.
And trying to stand in line at UPS.
Yes. Sounds like a plan.
I should get fancy too and cork it and put a cork it, cap it, and wax it, and then wrap it. Should get to like the fourth level of hell on the bottling, the top of
Right?
it.
It's like by the time you open it, you're so pissed you need a beer.
You need a beer just to get this activity done of unlocking this other beer.
Oh.
What's funny? My dad sent me a message, and he had the same. He actually bought a beer that was waxed and had the same problem. He's like, it took me 5 minutes to get to my beer.
Yeah, he sent a message to both of us, and it was like, is there really a reason why they put wax on the beer? And it's like to give it the illusion, to give people the illusion that it's a value. This is wax. It must be fancy and expensive.
Right? I was beer shopping yesterday, and I came across one that had wax. I'm like, I don't know if I want this beer.
Right?
It's like, I don't want to fight to get to it.
Like, I don't want to make myself angry to have a beer.
Exactly. Oh man,
that's so. Sean, what are you drinking?
So I found, and I think I talked about it on the show a while ago, but from Moonlight Meadery, I found Kirk's Apple Pie, the bourbon barrel aged version. So I was able to find that. So this apple mead has cinnamon and bourbon vanilla beans, and they also aged it. You could buy it, so that's like the regular version. This version, they aged it 6 months in bourbon barrels.
Nice.
Yeah.
So yeah. You talked about it, and you talked about trying to get your hands on some.
Yeah, they actually sold it at my local Wegmans in Cherry Hill. So it's funny because it's actually a pretty decent beer store. So,
yeah, when I went to the Watkins Glen in upstate New York, we stopped at the Wegmans there in Rochester to get beer for the track, and they had a lot of pretty good beers.
Yeah, man, the apple mead was already good, and like it's like even in the description, improving on greatness is not an easy task. However, we think we've found a way. And they found a way, Danny.
It's that good, huh?
It's just super solid. Like, you get this, you drink it, you get the honey, you get the apple and the cinnamon, and then you just got that nice overlayer bourbon just to kind of keep everything together and keep it not too sweet. And it's just really easy to sip. Like, this is like, if you're looking to have, like, something not beer, and you on the sweeter side, and you don't want wine, like this is definitely the thing to get. And the nice thing is they actually ship to a lot of different states, so even if you can't buy it locally, you could definitely order it right from the meadery, and that's Moonlight Meadery as well. And they have all sorts of different flavors. They have I want to get fancy and buy one of their 2013 like award-winning ones, but it's like $150 for...
It's on sale right now.
Oh, nice. Is it like $125?
Yes.
Hold on, everybody. We gotta pause the show. I gotta order mead.
But, like, all their other meads on sale, too. Like, they have, like, their 2020 peach cobbler is normally $60 on sale for $21.
Wow. I might have to drop some money. Oh, wait. They don't ship to New Jersey, I don't think. Fuck.
You can just have it shipped to your work.
That's what I... Good point. That's what I'm going to do.
The barrel aged Kurt's apple... How much did you pay for it at Wegmans, Sean?
I feel like it was 21 bucks.
Okay. It's cheaper there than it is on the line.
What is it online?
It's 31 online on sale for the bourbon barrel aged. But this is 2019. I don't know if they have the 2020 out.
Yeah, I don't remember how much I paid for it. I just know every time I walk out of a liquor store these days, it's usually like an over $100 bill.
Yeah, I was like putting stuff. I didn't even really pay attention when I went to La Bodega yesterday because I bought like a 4-pack and like a can of beer and a couple other things. And then so I checked my bank account this morning to like put everything in the checkbook notary thing or whatever. I was like, what did I spend $60 there? I just bought a 4-pack of beer and a can of beer. How is that? $60. I'm like, oh, that's right. They had a Whistle Pig maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
It was like on clearance for half price. So I bought the last three bottles of that they had.
Oh, is it maple syrup?
Yes, it's barrel aged in Whistle Pig barrels.
Wow. Interesting.
Dude, once you've had like real maple syrup aged in bourbon barrels, it changes your life, dude. You'll never go back.
Yeah, dude. I have a bottle of something. It's like real maple syrup, and it's, to your point, aged. Dude, it's like the best. Like you can't even go back.
Like I waited too long to go reorder it, and it sold out because it was like seasonal. But I found one, and it was bourbon barrels, and then aged it. After that, they put it in brandy, apple brandy barrels. Jesus. And then when they shipped it, they had like it was a cinnamon stick in there. Dude, it was so good. Like because once you barrel age it, it cuts down a lot of that sweetness. And even then, natural maple syrup is nowhere near as sweet as like
corn syrup version. Oh man, true that.
Yeah, so I think I'm gonna have to spend some money on some mead. That one called Destiny.
Which one is that one?
I want to let me like
see the I don't nice, know why, yeah, and the nice thing is
I'm blind.
Like this is a 14% ABV, so you could just give your wife like half a glass and she'll be good for the night.
Yeah, they're all like 14%. Unless they there's some that are 18%, the expensive ones. 19%.
Classy.
Yes. Oh man.
So Danny, while I was on vacation, you know, there was some late night munchies, and there was a Taco Bell run this week. Dude, you know what's funny is like, we're not the only ones complaining about the missing potatoes. It's funny because like one of the guys in my Destiny clan, his wife is vegetarian and is also like boycotting Taco Bell because of the potatoes. Nobody's happy.
Except potatoes.
I guess so.
But not the potato farmers.
Yes. So I'm trying to think what night this was. Anyways, so there was like dinner, and then there was beers, and then there was like late night munchies. And at this point, I think it's like 1 a.m. And so we couldn't go to our normal Taco Bell. So we had to go to the one, a different one that was open till 3.
What kind of like third world country do you live in where Taco Bells aren't open 24 hours a day? First of all.
I don't know, man. I was confused when the one around the corner that we always go to we weren't going to be able to get food from there, and this at 1 a.m.
I mean, isn't that the whole point? Like, shouldn't Taco Bell's just be open from like 8 p.m. to like 4 o'clock in the morning?
That's
the hours they're open.
Right. No, there's people that want it before 8 p.m. too.
I guess there are day drinkers.
Oh man, dude, it makes me want some Taco Bell, not Taco Bell, Jack in the Box tacos after drinking, but can't have them. So we order from the mobile app, so that way you go in, you give them your name, and you move on. And so if you like look on the mobile app, it just the only thing it tells you is to give them your name, and you're good to go, right? So we get there, we give him the name, he says pull ahead, and we go all the way through. And so he goes and he tries to give me a drink. I'm like, well, we didn't order a drink. And he's like, okay, whatever. And then he goes back inside, and then we're sitting there, and then he brings a bag out, and he hands me the bag. You know, the bag is now sealed and everything. And I look at it, and the name on the bag is incorrect. Like, it's not our order. And I'm like, hey, man, this isn't ours. And he just, like, looks at me, and he, like, starts to turn around with his window open, and he's just like, super loud, fuck, like super fucking loud. I was like, dude, am I at Popeyes or what? Like, why are we yelling? I was like super confused. I'm like, dude.
It's like he like pulls out a gun. And you're like, no, man, it's cool. This is my order.
He's like, well, we can't take it. I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, so anyway, so get. I got some free snacks. And so, like, his manager comes up, and he's like, we don't have your name on the thing. I'm like, really? I'm pretty sure we ordered from the right one. And we're like, I'm getting the elbow, like, just leave, just fuck it, we're done. We're done. And so, and then, like, the manager's like, it like dawns on him. He's like, is this a Del Taco app order? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh yeah, we found it. I'm like, we thought it was a
Uber.
Uber Grubhub order. And so that's what that's the one they made. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, how did you not check all the different? Isn't there like a corporate rule that says like, get name, check every single app to verify that you have it or something? Like, why would you
Right.
just assume and just make the order that was in the Grubhub one?
Right, it's like, well, we only check Grubhub, and that name doesn't match. So that, but that must be it, because that's the only Grubhub order we have.
First time I've ever just seen straight yelling at a Taco Bell. So it was good times. So I ended up with two free chicken quesadillas. So that was good. So I got that. And then the order also had like two cinnamon bun like things. I don't, have you had the cinnamon bun bites from Taco
No, I
Bell?
have not.
Yeah.
That's like the only thing I've ever had there was when they went like the little cinnamon twists that they have or used to have. I don't even know if they have them anymore.
Yeah, the cinnamon things are fucking nasty. Super nasty. So like they have like a cream filling inside, and the cream filling is just it tastes like raw batter. Is the best way I could describe it. I don't know what the batter's supposed to be inside. I don't know, maybe it just didn't get cooked long enough. I don't know, maybe it gets probably filled with some kind of frosting. Shit's nasty though. Like the outside was what tasted like a normal cinnamon bun flavor that was enjoyable, but yeah, that inside, super nasty.
It's like a delicious cinnamon bun filled with anger and just hatred.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of shit, did California change their donuts to where everything's fucking cream filled too? Or have I just like lost the great donuts of California?
I don't know. I haven't been to a donut place, but I haven't. Last time I had, because I haven't been to a donut. I haven't had a donut since like before the pandemic.
See, I've been buying like the individual donuts from like the grocery store, so you get like a chocolate glaze. But a lot of donut places out in Ohio and out here, dude, almost all their stuff is like cream filled. It's like, come on, bro. Like, that's not what I want.
I've seen too much Van Wilder. I don't trust cream-filled donuts.
Fair enough. Fair enough observation. But man, I'm like, where's just a chocolate bar, man? I'm like, I just want a chocolate bar. I don't want anything fancy. Just give me a donut with a layer of chocolate on top. That's all I
Actually,
want.
I
And I
take that
can't get.
back. Like early into the pandemic, I worked a couple Saturdays, and my supervisor brought donuts in for the people like that came in on Saturdays, and I would get like a maple bar or just a standard like circle donut with like the frosting and sprinkles, and they didn't have cream in it.
Yeah, dude, I don't get it, man.
Maybe it's
Everything
just the East Coast thing.
here, it's like caked batter on top, caked frosting inside. It's just like, come on, we're already eating donuts that aren't good for you. Like, let me just get the regular stuff. It's
Well, you
very
know, like
frustrating.
how the libs want to like ruin everybody's lives by making people eat healthy, and like the conservatives will do anything to own the libs. Maybe that's like their plan. They're like, you know what, dude? The libs are making fun of us and our obesity rates. I say we increase it even more just to own the libs. Let's kill ourselves with heart disease and obesity just to own the libs. Best way to do that? Just throw cream in everything.
Nasty. Yeah, so donuts suck out here. There still are some decent ones out here. You just have to really like put in effort to get it though.
Have
That's
you
what
had Scrapple?
I have not had Scrapple yet. The
Is that like a
girlfriend,
big thing out there?
I've seen it, but I don't know anybody that just like raves about it.
And then there's like another like sandwich, like cut meat or some kind of cut pork or something like that sandwich.
Pork
But like
roll.
Was that the, yes, that's it.
Yeah, pork roll is just like a slice of like Thanksgiving Day ham, basically. If you could, if just like imagine like going to like, you know where the, if you go into like the deli area and there's like that pork roast that's like in a circle, it's like a pretty like decent thickness, like thicker
Okay.
than sandwich meat. That's what a pork roll is out here.
So it's just like ham steak. Okay, because like I've watched like Food Network, and they'll go back to like a place in Jersey, and they talk about the scrapple and the pork roll.
Yeah, I haven't had scrapple yet, but I have had pork roll, but pork roll is nothing special. It's just pork.
And scrapple looks pretty nasty.
True. One of my favorite places to eat, called Hoagie Express. It's up by my work. It's a cheesesteak with bacon, pepperoni, pork roll, and double cheese.
Yeah, sounds pretty healthy and delicious.
I don't know about the healthy part, but definitely, it's definitely delicious. Like, it's like you eat like the small one and you don't have to eat for the rest of the
Exactly.
day.
You and technically you probably shouldn't either with all the calories in that.
Probably not. That's one of those days where I skip breakfast and get ready for lunch first thing in the morning. It's
Do some
like,
stretching so you can eat that.
yeah, lots of water. Keep trying to hydrate my body from all the salt that's coming.
Yes. Maybe like the day before, just like get an extra order of vegetables to help push all that out.
Right. Just like a vegetable smoothie for dinner
Yes.
that
Just straight like fiber, like the Metamucil fiber that you're supposed to like stir into a drink, a liquid and drink it. You just like start dry eating that by the spoonful.
yeah, right. Oh
Oh
man.
man. So we had kind of this like Instagram little like drama pop up because of Jester King Brewing based out of like right outside of Austin, Texas. There's a Instagram page that's really definitely worth a follow. It's a Worst Beer Blog. And he basically posts like anything from like when like the tanks at breweries explode to like people like just like causing commotion at breweries to the people that like used to stand in line for hours to get beer. Now they, because it's online, they, it sells out before they get a chance. And then they, how much money I spend at this brewery? I'm never going there again.
Don't
Those
go
guys.
again.
Yes. So in all the comments and everything, or the political ones when breweries like support a political candidate or anything like that. And just, then they post like the best, they cherry pick the best comments. So you don't have to like read all of them.
Oh, nice. I'm sure
But then,
Black is Beautiful when it had a bunch of fun topics.
oh yes, but recently this lady posted about Jester King that basically Jester King was leading the satanic takeover of Texas because their
One
logo
beer at
is
a
like,
time.
what's that?
One beer at a time.
Yes, because their logo is like the go a goat head, except which I guess maybe out of context that might be not the best if you're like you're extreme religious person that tries to find Satan in everything.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take into account that the fact that they like they're on a farm that raise goats.
Are you talking about the barrel with goat horns coming out of it? That's the
Yes.
satanic? Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Because like I said, like there's the like the hardcore group of Christians that try to find Satan in everything. And if you look for it, it's like, of course, you're going to find it because you imagine it there. And so I guess Worst Beer Blog posted this. And then I guess she started getting like people that follow Worst Beer Blog were going over to her social media and kind of harassing her and like instant. And she would like respond. And so there was just all this drama going on her social media to the point where Jester King reached out to Worst Beer Blog and they're like, hey, we don't think she's right in the head. Can you do us a favor and just take that post down?
Wow. When you're
And so
so
took
messed
it down,
up that
and
you're
like, why'd you take it
victim.
down? And like, because Jester King asked us to, like, not because of her, but because of the brewery, like, out of respect for the brewery. And then, so it word got back to her that the brewery was like, hey, she might be like crazy. So she just doubled down and was like, no, I am the only sane one here. I'm the only one that can see this. And also, you should pay money for my course so I could tell you how to spot Satan in everywhere.
Jesus.
Yes, take the wheel. Is what she wants.
Oh, man.
Speaking of, you know, we need Jesus, Sean. Red Lobster decided to come up with the ultimate gamer drink.
Oh, really? Oh, see, dude, this brewery set looks like they have some nice beers.
Oh, Jester King?
Yeah.
I have a couple in my fridge, and I've drank a couple different ones. They're really good, like, with their sours and stuff, and their food looks amazing. Like, Jody's like, can we go out to Texas, like, during the spring so we can, like...
She wants to go hang out with the baby goats.
Right, because, and then, like, for a while, like, they were doing, like, live streams of their yoga classes. They had to do, like, on-site yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And so people were doing yoga, and as they're doing yoga, like, the baby goats were coming over and, like, doing parkour off of them, like... And then, like, one lady, she was just sitting there, like, you know, legs crossed with the baby goat just sleeping in her lap.
Nice.
He's like, well, I guess I can't do any yoga. Like, I'm done.
I'm done for the day. I yoga'd out.
But then, like, people, you know, were doing, like, the downward dog or whatever, and, like, the goat would come and climb on their back and just stand there. And they're like, well, I guess I'm in this position forever.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So Jody wants to go there. And also, like I said, their food looks amazing because everything's, like, farm to table.
Yeah. I just want baby goats around so that way they could innocently, like, do that ramming charge on any lost children that enter my property.
Yes.
When they go up on, like, their 2 feet with their head all carked, like, boom. It's like, that's a baby goat. What can you do? I can't do anything.
Exactly.
Tell your baby children goat, not to get lost.
Can't control a baby goat.
No, you can't.
Oh, man. But yeah, Red Lobster, dude. The Mountain Dew margarita.
Has science gone too far? Yes, it has.
It's like, people only want to ask, can we do it, not should we do it.
Mountain Dew margarita.
It's the Dew-garita, if you order it.
Dew-garita?
Dew-garita, yes. And...
Oh my god, man, it's like you just go just to order that drink and then leave.
And yes.
I don't even like Mountain Dew, too, so I can't even imagine, like, how that tastes.
I don't know, dude, I like Mountain Dew. Like, I you know what, though, I think it would be good with the margarita, because Mountain Dew's got, like, that, like, a citrusy, even though it's sweet, but it's a citrusy taste. I think the tequila would cut down on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, a top secret recipe, and it's, like, well, you know, it's got Mountain Dew in it, like, other than, like, like, tequila and the salty rim, like, what else would you put in it?
Who knows, man?
It's got a spicy, salty rim, and it's, like, someone's, like, the article that I'm, like, looking at, it says, just thinking about the combination of Mountain Dew and tequila makes my insides churn more than frat house bathrooms and expired milk combined. But here's the thing, though. One of my favorite, like, well, not one of, but my favorite tequila-based drink is the Paloma, which is basically, like, traditionally, like, it's a tequila with a grapefruit soda or grapefruit juice and, like, soda water. But you can make it with Squirt.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean...
I've had a Squirt in forever, man. That sounds actually pretty good.
It's pretty good, especially with tequila. So it's like... I don't see how if Squirt and tequila goes together. I don't see how much worse Mountain Dew and tequila would be, other than the whole, like, stereotype of it being, you know, gamer fuel. I mean, I don't know if you'd want to do, like, any of the flavors, like the red flavor.
It's gamer fuel that'll get you fucked up.
Yes. Oh, and I forgot to write this on here, man. But in Canada, your favorite restaurant that you just talked about. Taco Bell has a jalapeno wine.
Interesting.
So, but it's only available in Canada.
Oh, damn those Canucks.
I know, man. We don't have any Canadian friends, even though they're all nice, apparently. But nobody's befriended us.
Right.
Oh, man. So, yes, I bought tickets yesterday to go to a virtual, like, Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up having to miss most of it, but luckily when I got home, they were like, they don't stick within their parameter time, because it was $50 and I got 9 beers that they went and they drove to the breweries, like, even up north. There's a couple up north by, like, San Francisco area, Santa Rosa.
Uh-huh.
And they interviewed people from the brewery, and they did some shenanigans there. And then I had to go pick it up in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a bunch of stickers. And so I made it home in time to watch, like, the last couple beers worth. Dude, it seemed like a pretty good time. Like, if you would have been in, like, the chat was really active. Like, they had a chat on the side. People were talking. They had bands play. Like, they would do an interview. They would do, like, it was like they would open the beer, show the interview, the video of the interview, and then they would have, like, a segment. Whether they had, like, a magician, or they would have bands play.
Nice.
A couple songs. And then they would go back, and then they would open the next beer. So it's like you didn't really necessarily have to, like, chug the beer.
Yeah, you had plenty of time just to sit and drink it.
Right. Like, you couldn't sip on it, but you definitely didn't have to chug it. Like, you kind of had to drink with purpose, but not – it wasn't a chugging contest.
And how many beers total was it?
9.
Jesus.
Over – it was about a – but it was a four-hour – little over four-hour period. Almost four-and-a-half-hour period.
That's still quite a bit of beer.
Yes. Some people were like, dude, I haven't been this drunk in forever. Like, someone's like, I can't feel my legs. I have to stop drinking. Like, after, like, the 7th beer. Oh, man.
Help.
But
help. Send the help.
But they're talking about maybe either – and then for $10, like, if you didn't live local, mm-hmm. for $10, you could just get access to the video and the stream.
Oh, nice.
So – and they're pretty funny. Like, one of the hosts and his now wife, Jody, and I ended up running into them at a Firkfest a few years ago when they're, like, had just gotten engaged.
Gotcha.
And I've run into him a few times at Bottle Logic and talked to him there and stuff. And so that's pretty much what was the deciding factor when I saw that he was one of the two hosts doing it.
Has he seen you enough to where if he sees you, he goes, hey, it's what's that? What's his face?
Not that point, but he's just like, hey, it's you. More like that.
Yeah, so he's kind of like, hey, it's you. See, look at that. You're stepping up in the world.
Right. And so, but yeah, man, it's definitely worth a lot of fun. They were talking about either doing a Christmas one or a New Year's one.
Mm. Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, people are like, you need to do more. And they're like, dude, it's a lot of work. Like, it's just the two of them basically, like, getting all the bands together to, like, do the videos and then going to the breweries, getting all the beers and doing all the interviews.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're doing it for, like, less money than we're doing it for. they're doing it for less money than we're doing the podcast for. But one of the cool things was that there's a new brewery that's opening up in Santa Ana. Yeah. Like, this weekend is their soft opening.
Oh, nice.
It was basically just for, like, friends, family, and media.
Okay.
And then on the 28th is their official grand opening. And so they got one of their beers, and, like, they don't even have, like they only canned enough beers to give to the, like, we got the first cans off their line, and they only did, like, the 130 cans for the Last Drop Beer Festival. And, like, their label was just a sticker that had the beer on it, what kind of beer it was on it.
Beer.
It was a pineapple blonde. It was pretty good, actually.
Oh.
And then I guess if you went to the soft opening and then you go to the grand opening, they have a habanero version of it, so it's spicy.
Mm. Gotcha. Fair enough.
But yeah.
Yeah. That actually reminds me. Tonewood Brewing is actually moving to a bigger location, walking distance from my house.
Dude, that sounds like both fun and trouble at the same time.
Right?
Especially if they have good beer. Like, if they have, like, okay or shitty beer, then it's, like, no big deal.
Their beer was decent. I think they one time I went there, it was, like, pouring, and then they had, like, they were, and I don't know why this is a thing, but they were having, like, a birthday party there for, like, 30 people, and they had to move it indoors. So it was, like, super obnoxious on how packed it was. So it kind of gave me, like, but that wasn't really their fault because of the weather, but their beer was pretty decent. So I'm looking forward to having a brewery walking distance from my house.
I mean, technically, if you're not lazy or have all the time in the world, everything's within walking distance.
That's true, technically.
I mean, that's how, like, you know, the West was settled. you know, it's like the Donner Party didn't jump on an airplane. There might have been less cannibalism if they did.
Probably.
Oh, man. So we got a couple trailers from Disney Plus, Sean. We got The Mandalorian Season 2, which is dropping October 30th.
Fantastic news. Really good. I'll be happy to watch that. I enjoyed the first season. I don't think it was anything earth-shattering, but it'll be interesting to see, with how, now that it was just kind of like adventures, surviving and whatnot, and see kind of like what happens now that he's kind of got more of a goal on what's supposed to be the premise of this second season. If we're gonna get more of the same thing, or if it's gonna be a little bit more on the he's gonna be more on the offensive side to try to get stuff done.
Right, this one definitely seems like he has more of a purpose because he was tasked to bring the child to his own people, and then he discovers about the Jedi, and it's just the way they describe him is pretty funny. It's like, wait, there's like these like space wizards that want to kill us, and you want me to go to them?
Yeah. Right, no, it's pretty funny. That part's pretty funny. As long as we get what's her name in the show again, I'll be happy.
Gina Carino, Carano, and she was in the trailer. I actually was like literally in the middle of Googling because I couldn't remember her last name. Cara Dune. Yeah, because at the end of the trailer, they show her and Greef Karga, Carl Weathers, walking up. So,
Good
and there was
call.
rumors, and no, it hasn't been confirmed either way, and nothing's come of it since I saw these videos. Like, all these like the anti-social justice weird people were making all these videos a couple weeks ago that the star Pedro Pascal had like walked off set like midway through filming and like just refused to like basically quit the show.
Wait, the main person?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's just rumors, though, or did that actually happen?
Rumors like, and because people are even making the videos like with question mark on it. It's like Pedro Pascal walks off the set of The Mandalorian? Question mark? And apparently the reason was is that he wanted to like be on screen more with his helmet off, and they're like, this isn't the way though.
Tell him to stop being a bitch. Him and his fucking
And
pretty
so,
boy glasses.
and I just said her name and I forgot it. The MMA, she was like, well, like she was kind of nervous on set, like for the first season. And so whenever, even if he was off set, off screen, like Pedro Pascal would take off his helmet so she could look him in the eyes when filming.
Oh, to make it easier for
Yes, but she didn't like. But I think that was a quote from like filming of last season, not this
her.
season. So I haven't heard anything either way. Like, with Disney hasn't come out and said no, he hasn't quit, or yes, he has quit. And maybe they just don't feel the need to respond to, the troll. They don't want to feed the trolls.
Hopefully not, man.
Even though like the trolls don't need to be are feeding themselves, like they hear one story and like go off of it. Like they push back all the Marvel movies again. Like Black Widow is not coming out until 2021, like April of 2021.
Jeez.
And they're trying to make it seem like it's like Disney's like giving up for on the Marvel movies or whatever, on Black Widow. And it's like, no, dude, like they want people to be able to go see the movies in theaters. Like
Yeah.
they're not dumb. It's a business.
They're trying to make as much money as possible.
Right. And so I don't know, man. This and then like the it looked like there was a little, like I said, more high stakes. It looked like he was like the ship was his ship was flying through, like, and it was kind of damaged. I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to the show. And then they had this trailer for WandaVision.
Dude, that shit was fucking trippy.
Wasn't it?
Dude, I was like, holy shit, like, where are we going? This feels like almost House of M with her fucking basically losing her shit.
And that's what they're expecting to set up, because this show is supposed to lead directly into Ant-Man 3. Oh
Really?
no, I'm sorry, not Ant-Man 3, Doctor Strange.
Got you.
This one is supposed to lead directly into, like, which kind of is cool because that means the show has some meaning, but it kind of sucks because if you don't have Disney Plus or don't watch the show, then like they're good about it, where like if you don't watch all of the stuff, you're not going to miss anything necessarily, but you just won't get the full story.
Yeah.
Like things will happen
So
or have happened. Like,
it's
why
a
did that happen?
show, not a movie then?
WandaVision? Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a TV show.
Interesting.
And so, right. And so like there's like you can tell there's parts in it where her reality is like her fantasy is like kind of fracturing a little bit.
Yes.
And then they show, like the people were like kind of losing their minds when they showed up in their old school outfits.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be. It'll be pretty interesting. I mean, it would. It seemed pretty fucking trippy, from what I was looking at. Man, dude, if they could do House of M, though, oh my god, dude, that'd be ridiculous. But I don't know who's alive even enough to do it. I guess you still got. I guess technically you still have Magneto, right? He's still roaming around somewhere.
Well, I mean, maybe they can use this to launch their own characters into the MCU, so they don't have to cast Fox's Magneto, either of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Or Professor X, either of them. Or they can get a new Wolverine or whatever. But, and I guess her brother is supposed to make an appearance at some point, which makes sense because if she's just fantasizing, you know, making her reality of that people that died aren't dead, then why not her brother being there?
Because it's Silver Surfer, isn't it? Not Silver Surfer, Quicksilver.
Quicksilver, yes.
Yeah, but wasn't that other kid supposed to be like, or what was his name? They never said, I guess, his name. He just ran really fast.
In the Marvel movies?
Yeah.
That was supposed to be Quicksilver, but they couldn't say Quicksilver because at that point they were still owned by Fox. So that's why they couldn't be Magneto's kids. That's why they were like an experiment of Baron Zemo's or somebody's.
Got you.
So.
Interesting.
Right. And then, another Marvel news, they announced the villain for Ant-Man 3.
Who do we got?
Kang the Conqueror.
I'm not as familiar with him.
He's from what I was like reading and hearing about him, that he's basically an Avengers level villain.
Really?
And he's like more specialty is like time travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so the speculation is that he's going to come in and close the time travel loophole in the MCU.
Got you.
Because now that they've invented time travel, anytime anything goes wrong, they're like, why don't you just go back in time and fix it?
Yeah.
So he's there to, like, make it so that can't happen anymore.
It says that he's mostly an opponent of Fantastic Four, as well
as... Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's what it was.
So they stole...
They're saying that could be the intro to Fantastic Four in the MCU.
Interesting. Hopefully we'll get a decent Doctor Doom.
Right? I mean, because he's also an Avenger. He also can be an Avengers-level threat.
Oh, yeah, he can be. I mean, they had Doom War. It was the whole universe against Doctor Doom.
Right?
At one point.
But, that's what I was going to say. So, and they're saying that Ant-Man 3 is supposed to be kind of like Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that it's going to be a larger cast than just the Ant-Man people.
Okay.
So I don't know who all is going to make an appearance, like, and if it's going to be like in flat, like time travel sequences, or in present day, or what. But there's going to be more than just, you know, Ant-Man and Wasp in the movie.
Yeah.
So kind of looking forward to that. That'll be kind of interesting to see, especially if they do introduce like some of the Fox characters into the MCU through this movie. And even if they don't have any other Avengers, if that's like how they get the cast in, like Fantastic Four, or even some of the X-Men.
Yeah.
So, Sean, we got some good news.
We need the good news. Bring the good news.
Much to the chagrin of some Twitter folk, they announced that there's officially going to be a second season of Uzaki-chan Wants to Hang Out already.
That's interesting. I wonder where they're going to go with it. I know I still have two more episodes to watch, but I mean, at some point, like, where does the story go?
Right. Well, I mean, as far as the manga takes it.
I guess that's true.
I mean, at some point, Uzaki-chan doesn't want to hang out because she's naturally hanging out.
Right.
Uzaki-chan won't go away. Oh, man. That's so, fair. There's some Reddit drama. Sean.
Why is there Reddit drama? We don't need
any more Reddit. Well, not so much Reddit drama, but just so Joe Rogan, with his podcast, decided he wasn't happy with, like, not necessarily wasn't happy with YouTube, but he just wasn't happy not being paid $100 million by YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went to Spotify.
Oh, shit.
And so I guess people on the left were already unhappy about Joe Rogan because some of the guests he has were like, they're like, well, you know, like he has Alex Jones on and stuff, and they're like, well, if you're going to have them on, like, why don't you ask them, like, hard-hitting questions? Why don't you kind of attack their beliefs and stuff? And Joe Rogan's like, but that's not my role as in the media or whatever. That's not what I do. I just want to hear what they think, mm-hmm. whether I agree with them or not. I just want to hear their side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And the left is like, no, they shouldn't have their side of the story heard. They're assholes. And so that's already been kind of going on, even when he was originally like doing his podcast.
Yeah.
And now
it's just weird to think, because like when his episode with Bernie Sanders is like one of the biggest bumps of how Bernie got very popular in over the last year was because of that, because he was just able to kind of like, you know, talk without being attacked or questioned. And, you know, Rogan just kind of had a reasonable conversation with them. So people got to have a better understanding of why, you know, Bernie thought the way he did about things. And it made it was actually was a really big component on getting people to the Bernie Sanders campaign.
Right. And the ironic thing is that the bump that that he gave Bernie Sanders, people were like almost like, that supported Bernie were almost mad about it, because that gave birth to the expression Bernie Bros.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the people that came to him after Joe Rogan were just the Bernie Bros. Like they weren't really true Bernie Sanders supporters. They were just bros that listened to Joe Rogan. But apparently some of the staffers at Spotify are like threatening to strike if Joe Rogan's podcast isn't like basically labeled with like a trigger warnings or like fact checked. Like if somebody, a guest comes on and says something that's not true, like they need like post like something, like have a disclaimer either in the podcast or somewhere like on the website or something, and or even just completely like either censor guests or remove episodes from the downloading options.
Interesting.
And I don't know how many people are doing it, but it's enough to like make attention, but it doesn't seem like Spotify is in any hurry to do it.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if they actually like go through with it, because they threatened it. Like, it's been like a week or so since they threatened and there's been no strike.
Yeah.
But at the same time though, it's like if you take somebody else's money and go to their house, you can't be that mad when they want to change the rules, yeah. You know?
True.
So, because he also moved to Texas, too, to get out of California, as the cool kids say.
He moved to Texas for tax reasons?
Yes, that's exactly why.
You will have that.
Oh, man. So, dude, you know, Europe has much better consumer protection laws than the United States has.
True.
Like, out here, we have some consumer protection laws, but they're mostly, like, in favor of companies. Like, we'll protect you a little bit, but we want to really protect the corporations.
Yep. That cheaply made product across the sea that's made with blood, sweat, and tears. Like, we got to make sure that's protected.
Exactly. And so this guy, like, claims that through the Nintendo Switch subreddit, he showed up, and he claimed that he won a lawsuit against Nintendo for their Joy-Con drift.
Mm.
And he kind of listed the process, but the main reason I brought the story is because in the article there was something funny. Like, Nintendo's response to him, because, like, you know, if you go through the steps and, like, Nintendo has so much time to respond, and they went past the time to respond for the first part, so then he was actually able to take them to court. And when they got to court, Nintendo's like, wait, this isn't fair. Like, they're like, yeah, but you had so many days to respond, you didn't respond. They're like, you know what? We don't really have the legal team to respond to things like this. Meanwhile, like, Nintendo was, like, the only company that's more sue happy than Nintendo is Disney.
Yeah.
Or maybe Stone Brewing. Like, those are like the top three, like, will sue you for IP theft, no matter how small it is.
True.
Maybe if Nintendo's legal team wasn't busy suing everybody, they could have looked into this guy's case.
Maybe. They could have gave him a hand.
Exactly. Oh, man. And then finally, Sean. You know, Sony came out, was announcing all these exclusives, and, like, Microsoft was trying to push their Game Pass, and, like, one of the main benefits of Game Pass is that any game made by a Microsoft-owned studio will appear on Game Pass on day of launch. So, like, Halo, Forza, Gears of War,
mm-hmm.
immediately available on Game Pass on launch.
That's pretty impressive.
So Microsoft ended up buying ZeniMax, which is like the parent company of Bethesda.
Yeah, it was that how it, I thought. I thought Bethesda was the top company. ZeniMax is the top one.
Yes,
gotcha. Got you. So basically, for those that don't know, all the Elder Scrolls,
Fallout,
all those games are now, you know, potentially,
Doom.
Yeah, Doom are potentially
Wolfenstein
are all going to be Xbox exclusives down the road potentially.
Right. Right now, like there's some that they have like contracts where they're not exclusive, but they said like in the future that'll be like basically game by game basis, so maybe some games might be full Microsoft Xbox exclusives and some might be like console exclusive, like limited exclusive, where they might have it for 6 months or to a year early.
Yeah, I don't know, it's gonna be pretty crazy though that all that is gonna be that's gonna be available. I mean, it's just such a huge purchase, but I mean, I understand where Microsoft is coming from, because I mean, if I think if you look, if you're comparing exclusives from Sony to Microsoft, I feel like, you know, the Halo series has lost a lot of its step. Like, I think, like, I don't know what happened, because, you know, and dude, I'm part of it. Like, I used to be a giant Halo fan. Dude, I haven't even played, like, the last three. Like, I have no idea, like, what's going on in the universe. It always was like, kill the Hive, kill the Hive. Like, but that exclusive isn't carrying, you know, the sales anymore. You know, I think they're trying to drum it back up, but Sony is just destroying Microsoft on exclusives. And this makes sense where, you know, if you can't, you know, if your studios can't do it, maybe add more studios to get that hype, to get that sales.
Right. I heard somebody pose the question, name one new intellectual property that Microsoft made as an exclusive in this generation of consoles.
Dude, I can't name one.
They couldn't either. It was like four people on the show and none of them can name one. And it's like, what about PlayStation? And it's like,
Horizon,
you know,
Zero Dawn, now Horizon. Ghost, the new God, I mean, the new God of War, that's not new, but I mean, it's still a PlayStation exclusive.
It was like a forgotten IP that they hadn't made for a while. Like nobody, like people almost like gave up on them making a new God of War. And when they announced it, they're like, wait, they still want to make those games?
Yeah. And you think the direction they went on it was so brilliant. Like they made it into more of a RPG versus a hack and slash, but kept it like a little bit more forward. You know, they leaned more on the, I think they leaned more on the lore to make it more appealing, and it definitely worked.
Right, and then why can't I think of the Death Stranding was another one.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the other part too is, I know it's not Sony and Sony, it's just Japanese companies, but you can't play like certain games on Microsoft either. So like Persona, that's, you know, that's heavy PlayStation.
Pretty much every Atlas game.
Yeah, every Atlas game is pretty much an exclusive to PlayStation. So I don't know, it's just crazy.
Right, and so I guess after this was announced, PlayStation fans turned to social media saying that PlayStation needs to buy Konami before Microsoft does.
Which one's Konami?
They make like Metal Gear and stuff like that. That's where Hideo Kojima came from, who made Death Stranding.
Got you. Well, Death Stranding's doing so well, so.
You know what, man? That game, that game was almost made more for the art than for the sales.
Yeah.
You know, like either that game was going to sell a ton, or whether that game sold a ton or not, like I think the people that made it were like happy with what they made. You know, it's one of those like abstract like music albums that not everyone's going to be into, but the people that love it just love the shit out of it. Because it's a weird game, I heard.
Yeah, I bet it is.
But yeah, so I was reading another article from Forbes, and they were like, you know, people are saying that Sony, basically saying that Sony needs to buy like more studios. And they're like, they don't. Like, they're ahead. Like, they're on third base already, and Microsoft's still on first base trying to catch up.
I think they're trying to get to first base.
Right.
And I mean, to your point, I mean, think about it, dude. Like, two of our friends bought a PS4 to play Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, that is the impact of gaming on Sony versus Microsoft.
Right.
It's Mike and Gecko, if you were wondering.
I figured.
But literally, like, they did not. They literally bought the PS4 for Horizon Zero Dawn to play it. Like, I don't know how much of a better stat, like, real life stat there is for it. Like, that's like, the reason why I want PlayStation 5 so bad is so I could have it ready for Horizon Zero Dawn 2, because that thing is going to be, like, mind-shattering great.
Or
Hopefully.
mind-shatteringly disappointing,
I
if we're
hope it. I hope
expecting too much
it's the
up.
first one.
I'm expecting it to be the first one, but you never know with
Correct.
life.
Yeah, you can't.
Especially this year.
So, no, but I mean, I think it's a good. I mean, I understand why Microsoft bought it. I mean, I think it's gonna be, for me as a collector of consoles. If it goes exclusive, like, I'm not gonna really have that much of an issue, because at some point I'm gonna have the Xbox Series X and a PlayStation 5 in my house at some point, because that's just what I do. I think it's gonna be tough though for people that, don't do that or that don't have a lot of time for gaming. Do they really want to buy two consoles? Because I mean, I think Skyrim was a huge game. Like, everybody. A lot of people played that game because of how casual it was, or how in you could get into, how deep you want to get into it. You could get a lot of stuff done in that game as well. And I think just with the Elder Scrolls, all the game titles that come with it, there's a lot of big fans of Wolfenstein, Fallout, and whatnot. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the future.
Right. Like the last Wolfenstein I played was pretty fun. Like it was almost more fun than the ones I played early in the beginning.
All right, everybody, that's it for today's show. Thank you for hanging out with us on another fun-filled episode. Make sure you follow us on Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, Podbean, all those fantastic places. Make sure you're following us on Instagram. Danny likes to post some fantastic beers on there, on what he's been doing. And then follow us on Untappd, and see what we're drinking.
And listen to us on the evil empire of Amazon Music. Give Jeff Bezos some money, so maybe he'll give us some money.
Jeffrey.
His name is Jeff. His ex-wife needs more of that alimony money, and his new wife is going to need some more in the future too. His
Right.
future ex-wife.
Oh, man. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Later.